inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lee.
My guest on the podcast has been at this for 16 years. And in that time, he has managed to buy exactly one property. He never really felt the need to go out there and build a big portfolio and generate lots of passive income every month. He was happy having one property and building wealth over time as he pays down that mortgage and the property hopefully appreciates over time. And so I want to see how things have worked out. I mean, 16 years is a long time to be doing this. So I want to figure out what he's learned and how things have worked out for him. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet Nick from Philly.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
Nick, welcome to the podcast. So tell me, what got you first interested in buying a rental property?
To begin with, it was just to find a place to live because at the time I was renting an apartment with a friend, and you know, he got engaged and he said, you know, he's going to move on and move in with his fiance. And I was like, yeah, that's all right. And I thought I was going to be renting another apartment, but a family member was like, yo, why don't you just get a duplex and you could rent, you live in one half and rent the other. And I was just like, what? I could do that? Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that's what that could be done.
Yeah.
So I met with a realtor and we looked at a bunch of properties, and it was coming down to the wire, and the lease was going to be up soon. And another good friend, she had shown me like this small community of duplexes that I didn't even know was there. And it was just amazing because it was like all these duplexes, and it was, they're perfect. It was like mm-hmm. one, it was basically, it was everything, mostly what I wanted. And the location was good. So my realtor got me in there and we looked around. I settled on that.
Okay.
Especially because it, of course, had an empty unit that was just redone and I could move right in. So
you didn't have to find a tenant. You basically inherited your tenant from the person you bought the property from.
Exactly. Yeah.
That made it easy. So how did that work out? You know, because a lot of times maybe the old landlord is managing in a certain way and you come in and maybe you've got your own style. How did the tenant react to a new person being the manager or the owner?
Well, it's pretty transparent. It was just going from, you know, one person to another, really. She mm-hmm. or they, it was an older couple. They didn't seem to mind at all.
And okay.
I of course, you know, I didn't want to make any major moves at first. I was just actually a new landlord too. So I was just mm-hmm. feeling it out and what do I do?
Sure.
I did end up raising the rent almost within like a few months just because it was actually kind of on the low end.
Mm-hmm.
But they were fine with that.
How did you make sure that they weren't deadbeats, that weren't paying? Like, did the old landlord give you any kind of information, maybe copies of their leases or anything like that?
I did get a copy of the lease. I was not, I mean, again, I was a new landlord. I was not up with the tenant
right.
screening or anything like that. Yeah. I just trusted. I mean, they were there for, at that point, they were there for 6 years.
Okay.
So I was just like, you know, and I did feel them out. Like, and now they were, I did know that they were kind of unclean. They weren't keeping it that mm-hmm. great, but it wasn't so horrible that there was holes in the walls and there were, you know, bugs all over the place. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything like that. So, and they were nice and they kept quiet mostly. So I was, and again, just new landlord, mm-hmm. Feeling it out. So eventually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask, so how was it living there next to them? Like, did you feel like you were always kind of working? Like, were they coming over a lot saying, hey, there's something's broken or I can't pay rent this month? Like, did you feel like you were always kind of on when you were home?
No.
Okay.
Actually, no. Surprisingly, I just would, you know, it was a common hallway and I would hear them come in and, you know.
Okay.
There was times that they would be late, but not, it wasn't like every month.
Okay.
And, you know, eventually, you know, I'd just be sitting there and all of a sudden like a envelope come through the door. I'm like, okay. And I got paid.
That's the greatest. I love it when money just shows up. That's awesome.
It just showed up. So, it would cover, you know, more than half my mortgage. I have a place to live and I'm not paying, you know, full rent myself. So.
Right. Now, when that tenant moved out, was it hard to find someone new?
It was not actually no. The area, once I put that that rent sign out, you know what, they calls seemed to come in pretty quick. Again, it was a community of duplexes; they're all together. So the rent sign goes out. I think you know, someone nearby in another duplex may say, "Oh yeah," you know, tell a friend, "Hey, this is for rent now." I think that's how it really. And the next tenant saw me. She was just walking by in the area, and she just called a friend and. It just happened that way. When I've had the rent sign out there, I found that I was getting calls like, you know, maybe almost daily, like once a day.
Now, when you bought this place and when you were first kind of learning, this was 2001, right? Yeah. Now, that was a totally different time because I feel like it was a lot harder back then to learn about rental properties. I mean, this podcast wasn't around. I mean, I don't think there was any podcast around. There was a lot less information online. How did you learn? Like, I almost feel like people today have it so much easier because you can hear stories like yours and see that it's not scary and that if you can do this, someone else can do it. How did you learn back then how to do this?
That's a good question. Really, I did go off of maybe go back to my realtor. I went online as best as I could to search for certain things.
When someone moves out, how much does it generally cost you to get the place fixed up?
You know what? I'm going to say like maybe, you know, $2,000 to $3,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. I mean, now it's good to have other landlord or get away from our landlords to find some good contractors, maybe get some good prices. Mm-hmm. That's something I would definitely suggest.
That's good advice because other landlords always know people, you know, whether it's a painter or a contractor. So yeah, that's good advice. Networking with other investors is good, you know, and like for me, I don't look at other landlords as competition. You know, I look at it as we're all in this together and we should all help each other out. And I think most people look at that the same way. Is that how you have found people look at you and how you look at other landlords?
Yeah. So, and what else is really good is having a supportive wife. Mm-hmm. Who and supportive family and, you know, people that will help go in there and, you know, they know how to do things. You know, my wife was great. She helped clean and paint and she's been supporting me and it's been great. And that's just great to have people around you.
I agree. That
can help you out.
That is really important. Yeah. To have people support you on this because when times get tough, like you kind of need that support. So what do you think has been the worst thing that's happened to you? Like owning the property?
You know, over this amount of time, I've had different things. I had an eviction recently, but, as far as like damage, what stands out right now is I had a water heater, just like start leaking really bad. Tenant just called me and he's like, this water here, there's water shooting out of it. I'm like, Oh. And then I kind of like calmed down and said, yeah, run over to the, I told him where the valve was and told him to turn it off. He turned it off. Just ended up going over there and brought a fan and just aired it out and scooped the water out. My wife was there and she was great. She helped me out with just cleaning up, and we got it cleaned up, and I had to call the plumber. You know, it's good to have a contractor, contractors on hand and know who they are, so you could contact them right away. And, you know, a plumber just came the next couple of days and replaced it, and it wasn't that bad. But it was, I guess, all of a sudden, it came out of nowhere, of course. And
Yeah. But like that, I mean, that's the worst thing that happened. It doesn't sound like it was really that bad, right?
No. As for something that just popped up, no.
Yeah. Now, you have recently decided that you're not going to manage the property yourself anymore, that you're going to get a property manager, or at least for one of the units, right?
Yeah. I'm definitely curious about it and see how it would go. Right now, it's empty, and the property manager has it listed, so we're just going to see how that goes, and if it could reduce my time there. Again, I live there, but I moved out, and, you know, my wife got married and got a house, and we're living together, and I just want to have more time with family.
Mm-hmm. Has it been more difficult not living there?
Yeah. Okay. I would say yes. Only because for the times that I need to be there to do certain tasks, certain fixing of things, and you know that just takes time away from being home, being with family. And I was just like, I just want to get this over with.
Right. How about collecting rent? Do you still get? I guess before it was easy, the tenant would just slide it under your door, but with you not living there anymore, how do you get rent today?
Well, I like to go and just collect it. The reason for that is because I like to go there and see how things are going, if I need to do anything, in the common spaces, if a light bulb needs to be changed, if I hear a smoke detector beeping, it needs a battery. I like to know what's going on. It's landscaping, outside, how it looks, upkeep.
Just check on things. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you coordinate that? Like, do you always just come by in the first? Are they expecting you? Or do you talk to them and figure out a time that's good for you and for them?
Well, my current tenant that's there, she usually just texts me. She actually contacts me, and you know, sometimes I'm reminded, like, okay. Oh yeah, that's right. It's where she's coming up, and she just we just coordinate. I would prefer just sometimes getting it online. It sounds really convenient. We tried it for a while, but if I were to do that and get into the habit of just getting it online, I might not stop by, and
right,
I might miss things that might turn bigger.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage you to do it online, because it's so much easier. And I understand you want to stop by and check on things, but it's so much easier to not be involved with the money part of collecting rent. But I do understand that it's you feel good checking on the property, and you know, maybe with your property manager, maybe things will be easier going forward. Now, tell me about your eviction. You said you had an eviction recently?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What happened?
What happened was she just was not paying on time and giving me a runaround. I didn't want to do it. I really warned her in advance, and just I realized I had to do it. I had to drop the hammer and just get it done.
So she was paying late, or she wasn't paying at all?
Both. Okay. I mean, she would come by with like a lump sum of payment, and I was like, all right, well, and then the next time getting an excuse, a little bit of pay, some more excuses. So I've ended up just looking into it, and it was good. My first eviction, it was a new learning experience, and it wasn't that bad. As far as like paperwork and I mean, just a new experience dealing with the courts and everything, but it was pretty cut and dry. And then eventually she just, you know, it wasn't a great fight. She just basically said, all right, I'm done, and kind of agreed to leave. So
now the eviction process is different in every state, but in Pennsylvania, like, what was the first thing you had to do?
First thing, you just had to go to the court, and just the local court, and just inform them. They give you a piece of paper, you fill it out right there, and they inform the tenant within, like, I think a few days.
So they send, like, the sheriff over to put a notice on the door?
Yeah, and then then the next thing is the court date, which came up really quick. I was expecting that to be drawn on, but it was like within like a week and I think a week and a half. I was in court, and the court process, of course, is really quick.
And so, what happened at court? Like, did the judge ask you to provide a copy of the lease or any documentation, or like what was that like?
It was quick. It was, she didn't, I think she just asked me how much my tenant owed, and I gave a number, and the tenant, of course, disagreed, and there was some quick math done, and the judge came to mind the number I originally had. And
so you said she hasn't paid in 2 months and the rent's whatever, and so that the judge said, okay, well, this is what you owe, and did she try to make an excuse, or did she just go with what the judge said?
She did go with what the judge said. And you know, she just said, well, I'm going to try my best. And then eventually she just said, I can't do it. And I just,
like, in court, she said that?
Or
in,
no.
Okay, when she got
this
home.
This is like about like a, you know, I think a week later, a week and a half later, she had said that she was going to get ready to move out.
It sounds like this property hasn't really been that much of a hassle for you. It sounds like it's been a great experience. Now, a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, they buy a property, they see that this actually works, that you actually can make money, and as long as you buy the right property, it's not that much work. You've never bought a second property after this one. Do you see yourself buying another property, or do you think that this is it?
I am happy. I'm happy. You know, we're happy having this one property. But you know what? Me and my wife were like, my wife was like saying, you know, what if we were to get another, you know, another one, maybe even at the shore, Jersey Shore. That way, we could definitely take advantage of it,
sure,
and also rent it out, because you know, Airbnb is awesome.
It really is. All right, let me ask you my final question. Now, if somebody is on the fence, they're not sure if they should buy their first property, is there any advice that you would give them?
I definitely say go for it, especially if you're a young person. If you're a young person and you're looking to move out of the house, instead of moving into an apartment, maybe look into this. Maybe even if you stay home for a little bit longer, just save more money just so you can get a property like this and look around. It's worth it, I think, because you then eventually you could live there and get – you don't have to pay, of course, a full rental, month's rent yourself, and you can end up with a property that you could manage after you move out and move on with your life. And, you know, it's good to have, again, just be prepared. Just be prepared. Know how to get in touch with contractors. Know how to fix things yourself. Learn. You know, I've learned somewhat a good amount just living there and learning how to fix things. So.
Awesome. Well, Nick, congratulations on your success. It's really exciting to hear that this has all worked out for you. I appreciate you coming on the show, and thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.